So Richard Roper has stepped into the studio. He's going to be joining us to talk about things you can watch over the weekend as it approaches us here. It's Thursday already. Thanks be to God. Including, and we're very hockey intensive right now here at WGN, because the Blackhawks are as exciting as they have been since 2015 right now. And that is true. No matter how you break it down, the Blackhawks are one win away from being in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which they have not been in now. This would be their third season of not being in, and they haven't won a Stanley Cup playoff game since 2016.
Oh.
Right? So this is a big moment here. I mean, actually, since 2015, since winning the Stanley Cup, isn't that right?
Because they got swept then, right?
No, well, they went seven games in the 2015-16 season with St. Louis.
Okay.
So they won a game there.
Right.
But then the following year, they won the division and got swept by the Predators.
Right, got swept by those Predators.
Yeah.
It's been a while, bottom line.
Yeah. All right. Yes, it has been, and they're playing great, and it's been fun to watch. It's a whole team effort. Especially the sports department here at WGN Radio, between the White Sox, who have been en fuego. We have to say it like that because they're all Cuban. And the Blackhawks, this is a very fun couple of weeks. And since sports is the only thing that we can really, make ourselves feel better about. And there is a documentary coming up that you're going to talk about that's available on demand on Tuesday. Right? It's not available yet.
It's available now.
It's available now. Okay. It says Tuesday. So I'm assuming that meant 2 days ago Tuesday, that Red Penguins, which is really something to behold. And we're going to talk to a guy who is actually a former Chicago Blackhawk who got involved in Russian hockey. And this is a documentary about the goofiness of the beginning of the Russian, the KHL, and the beginning of the Russian hockey rebuild after the Soviet Union. It's really something.
Forget about Tiger King. It's all about Red Penguin, okay? That's all I'm saying. Tiger King is so March.
Right. If you want to see something goofy, and Reed Simpson is going to join us to talk about the Chicago Blackhawk. I don't know if we can call him a Chicago Blackhawk great, but he certainly was in the guys who they sent out onto the ice to actually go get in the way of somebody.
Yeah. He was on all the teams, pretty much.
He was on all the teams, and for a good reason.
Yeah.
For a very good reason, because he would go on the ice and use his head.
Yeah.
That's the most important. Nah, but I don't mean that way. He would actually use his head in other ways.
Right.
And we'll also be talking to John Weideman coming up in the 6 o'clock hour as well about where the Blackhawks are. It's very, very fun. But there are other things to think about as well. Now, there is some entertainment news that I would like to mention here first. Finally, we have got an answer for Mulan. We now know what is going to happen to Mulan. Can you explain this?
Absolutely. And in fact, this is the one we called a few weeks ago. What was going to be the first major blockbuster to go on demand, at least in the United States? And I thought it would be Mulan. And it is Mulan. The live action, highly anticipated Disney movie will be available Labor Day weekend. That's September 4th, is that Friday, I believe, for $30 on Disney Plus. It will be a premium price. Interesting, too, Ro. Now, it's also going to be opening in theaters because, as we speak, 50% of the movie theaters in the world are now reopened. Not here in the United States, but across the globe. So it will be playing in a lot of theaters across the globe. But for our purposes, Mulan will be on Disney Plus, $30. Now, we've talked in the past about how movies have been available anywhere from $19.99 to $25 or $26 for weekend rental. What they're saying right now for Mulan is you own it for that $30.
Wow.
There's no limit on the number of viewings, which I think is a key price point and selling point for a lot of families out there who might not want to spend $30 if they could only give it a spin once or just over the weekend. But if you can own it forever and have multiple viewings, which I think in a lot of cases, some of the younger viewers are going to want to do that. Some people are saying the $30 is just absolutely outrageous and obscene and unrealistic. And others are saying, well, if I took my spouse and my two kids to the movies, it would cost more than $30 probably to see Mulan.
For sure.
Between the tickets and the concessions, because you can do your own concessions at home. You can pop your own popcorn. You
can
stick your own gum under your own couch.
Now, do I have to count that in my own dollar amount in terms of what I'm spending? I've got
to
think about that.
Look at the big picture there. So it's a big deal. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how many people buy it. as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I think this movie will make $1 billion between theatrical sales and the home video market. I do think its first weekend at $30, I think you'll get several million people buying it. So it won't make as much as if it were as if it had opened in theaters across North America. But
so what would that have been, do you think?
I think it would have made 125 to 150 million in North America.
But if you figure it might make 90 million?
Maybe 70 or 80 here. Yeah. Although, it could be more. A lot of families, I know some kids are going back to school, some aren't. But, we're still not at that stage where everybody's just out and about and doing things. And people are looking for, especially for movies the whole family can watch. And this is live action. It's not going to be for like toddlers, but it's a huge film.
You do have to sign up for Disney Plus to pay the $30 to get this. So you have to pay whatever the Disney Plus dollar is to get in there, and then the $30.
Yeah, and I think it's $4.99 a month right now for Disney Plus. There are a lot of offers, though, if you sign up. You can probably figure out a way to get Disney Plus for almost nothing. But you're going to have to pay the $29.99. And maybe have some people just sit right outside the windows in the backyard, called the Peeping Tom factor.
I think Peeping Tom is a character in Mulan. All right, hold on 1 second. We'll come right back. Richard Roper is here. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of things to get to. But first, here is Mary Vandeveld. She's got the traffic and the weather. Richard Roper's Review is brought to you by Arkadek. He is in the studio with us today. Tomorrow, it's a short show as the Chicago Blackhawks take on the Edmonton Oilers. Even though they're the home team tomorrow in Edmonton, I don't know. You explain it. I can't explain it. And that starts at 5:15 right here on 720 WGN with the pregame. Puck drops at 5:45. And I could not be more excited about the potential outcome. If they win tomorrow, they move on to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then it's on for real. This team looks great right now. They look healthy. They look great. And it's fun. Fun having hockey back. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about some reviewing here. What do you want to start with?
You want to talk about an American pickle?
Sure.
Which we're all in right now, an American pickle. Now, this, I really think this sounded fascinating. It's based on a kind of a series of short stories, so basically based on a book. Seth Rogen, in two roles, he plays an Eastern European immigrant who comes to the United States of America to pursue the American dream in the year 1919. He's going to find work in New York City. He's going to have a family. It's going to be great. And he works at a pickle factory. Well, he happens to fall into a vat of pickles, and then the factory gets condemned, and no one knows what happened to the poor guy, to poor Herschel. So he's pickled, literally pickled, for 100 years. And then some kids playing with a drone discover the vat of pickles in the year 2019 and kind of shake it. And out comes pickled Herschel, who's exactly the same 35-year-old guy he was in 1919. Because he's been pickled. And he meets his great-great-grandson, who is Ben, who is also played by Seth Rogen. So now it's the adventures of the great-great-grandfather, who, the salt of the earth, worked with his hands, wanted to, make something of himself, and his idiot great-grandson, who, of course, is trying to develop an app that is echo-friendly, because that's what everybody does in Brooklyn in the modern time. So I like the premise, and Seth Rogen, interacting with Seth Rogen, the technology has improved a lot from the days where, Patty Duke had to have a double with the back of her head showing, mm-hmm. or things like that. We've seen other people playing dual roles ever since the Winklevi in Social Network. But it just doesn't go anywhere. So I'm giving 2 stars to American Pickle. They get into this stupid rivalry. The old guy starts an artisan pickle business and becomes the darling of the viral, millennials in Brooklyn, which is kind of a stretch. And then he just gets into all kinds of bickering with his great-grandson. I thought it could have been more interesting if we saw more of Herschel trying to figure out what is happening in the modern world. There's a little bit of that. And then, of course, the one part I did like is his great-grandson trying to get revenge on him just starts asking him questions about certain things like, a man being with another man and things like that. And, of course, his great-grandfather has some old-world views and is quickly kicked off the Twitter. So that's kind of interesting, but that's about it. There's not a whole lot to it. I like Seth Rogen. A lot of people are like, geez, I don't even want to see one Seth Rogen, let alone two. I think he's actually a good actor when he's got the good material. He can be. We already know he can be stoner funny.
Yeah.
So he's good in what is essentially a dramatic comedy, but you can skip an American Pickle. It's on HBO Max, so you might be skipping it anyway if you don't have HBO Max.
Something interesting about the business model as it pertains to all of this stuff now that we have to be at home. You can't go to the movie theaters and stuff that would be first run is coming out.
Yeah.
HBO Max, I have found to actually be a pretty good service because it's not only giving you the stuff that's on HBO,
mm-hmm.
it's a little almost restricting in its marketing of itself, because it feels like, oh, well, don't I already have HBO Plus or HBO whatever,
yeah.
If you have HBO. It has all that product, but it also has Warner Brothers product. Mm-hmm. It's got the films that are coming out being distributed through Warner Brothers, which is the own, which is the, you know, it's AT&T and Warner Brothers and all that. It has other things as well. It's got a number of different categories, and I think it organizes things very well. There's a lot of first run stuff, but there's also, they do classics better than I think even Netflix or
they've got a huge library. Yeah, and they've already showed some great flexibility in that a lot of these things that are premiering on HBO Max are only exclusive to HBO Max for a couple of weeks, and then they're on regular HBO, which I think was a smart move, because a lot of these other services are like, no, you have to have super duper premium. It's never going to be on the other thing. And they're more like, no, for the people that can afford it and like to be first and want to see first run things, we've got HBO Max, but a lot of this stuff will be on HBO. And in the case of An American Pickle, I would say it's a smaller film that it plays fine as a home viewing experience. It would have been a theatrical release, mm-hmm. but it's not like some of these big, big movies where you're like, oh, it's a shame. And like, you know, Greyhound, which was not a great film, but the Tom Hanks movie would have played much better on the big screen, a World War II epic.
So this film now is something, if you have HBO Max, you just get it. You don't have to pay extra for it.
No, you've got HBO Max, you're going to get it, yeah.
Okay. Do you think that Netflix and all of them, let's see, Hulu, Prime, right. the HBO Max, Disney Plus, there's a lot of them now, and now it's all adding up.
Yeah.
So if you're paying for them, let's just say that you're paying $5 to $10 mm-hmm. a month for these things.
Yeah, a lot of
now
times
you're
more.
Almost at $60. Why would people pay for cable? And one of the things about HBO Max I've noticed is they're offering cable-esque offerings like CNN and other things like that.
Exactly. And that's a great point. I mean, Netflix is the one that continues to grow even during this, you know, pandemic. I mean, I think in terms of what people will give up, it's you know, food and water are first and second. Netflix is third. You know, I'll hang on to my Netflix, you know, maybe give up a sibling, you know, before they're not going to give up their Netflix. That's just the way it is. But it's interesting. I just was looking at the rankings today, Ro, for, you know, these apps you mentioned, the streaming apps, and Netflix is number one and Hulu's number two, but some of the newer ones, including the Peacock streaming mm-hmm. network
right.
and HBO Max, have cracked the top 10 of, you know, content services pretty early on. Whereas Quibi, which is the one that you get the little 8-minute or 9-minute little, you know, snippets on your mobile, which is a huge thing from Jeffrey Katzenberg and Meg Whitman. They put billions of dollars into it. Quibi's having trouble finding a foothold. So they're, you know,
I think they thought that internationally too that was going to work, because all you see is anybody under the age of 25 just staring at their phone.
And they also thought, yep, it would be perfect if you're waiting in line at Starbucks or on the train and all these things that people aren't doing right now. They'd be able to, you could watch an 8-minute episode, you know, almost on an elevator ride. So they're also making adjustments, and they've got some pretty good stuff coming out. But right now, HBO Max, I think, is a good example of how they figured out what they did right and wrong a couple of months ago when it started, and they're already making adjustments. Give them credit for that.
And the question is going to be, how are we going to get cable channels, local channels, things that you're going to want to watch, that you want to watch and just have stream past you, as opposed to sitting down and watching something that you've ordered up?
My big idea that I've been running by all the big services, haven't heard back yet from, though, is, and this is something that would be more for next year, but I envision a world in which there would be individual stores and outlets in all the cities and boroughs across America, and you would go into these stores and you'd be able to rent something on a kind of a boxy tape type device, bring it home, put it into a machine, and watch it at your leisure for like $1.99. And then all you have to do is rewind it and return it.
So like a tape.
Yeah, like a tape.
Like a tape.
Some sort of a video, a video tape.
Like a home service, like a video home service tape.
And that, you know, and it could feature a lot of the big movies, so you could call it like major movies or blockbuster or something like that. So I've been working on that proposal. I've been faxing it to everybody. So.
You've seen too many time-bending movies is what I just realized there. Okay, The Tax Collector.
Oh, we got to talk about The Tax Collector. Okay, so Tax Collector is a super violent gangland L.A. movie with Shia LaBeouf. It's from David Ayer, who wrote Training Day, Champaign, Illinois native, and he's written a lot of cool action movies. Here's the most interesting thing about The Tax Collector.
Hold on to that thought.
right there.
You stay right there. We'll find out what the most interesting
There's something
thing.
Fascinating about this movie. No other movie has this.
We'll find out about it after the news, and we'll also find out about the mask holes. We have to move mask holes to Thursday as well. It's a little bit of a jumble today because as we get through the rest of the week, we are just piling into today because tomorrow the Blackhawks are taking up the last couple hours of their show, and let me just tell you, that's an upgrade. That is a clear and present upgrade. So mask holes, John Weideman will be here in the 6 o'clock hour, and we'll also meet a former Chicago Blackhawk, former NHL player who had to go to Russia to spend some of his career, and although he is not specifically essayed in this film, he's got a story about a film that you're also going to review, which is called Red Penguins, and if you're a hockey fan, you will get the kick of a lifetime out of this, because it's something, it's a little like a, it's feels like Slapshot, but it's real. That's the scary, crazy thing about this. So all of that coming your way. But first, we got news in 2 minutes.
You're taxing 43 different street gangs. That's thousands of dudes in the most violent subculture in Los Angeles.
The count's short.
Who are you? I'm the future, and you the past.
You got your kids. You want to buy them back?
You don't think he wants to spill blood?
He wants to cut your heart up.
Can't run for what's left.
I got a 380 on each ankle, 38 on my right, 25 on my left, chopper in the trunk, Glock on my belt. I'm on it.
That's the tax collector. Richard Roper is here. He's reviewing, brought to us by Arkadek. This is going to be in theaters, too.
You know, the theaters that are open. There'll be a few across the nation that'll play in, but also available on demand. And that was Shia LaBeouf doing his bad guy. He's a tax collector. He's a bag man for the top L.A. crime lord. Goes around collecting the dough for him. Now, this movie became famous or infamous before it came out, Ro, because Shia LaBeouf tattooed his entire torso in preparation to play this bad guy gangster.
Real tattoo.
Real tattoo. And it brings to mind the famous story about Laurence Olivier and Dustin Hoffman. You probably know this story. They were making Marathon Man, and Dustin Hoffman was playing the torture victim of Laurence Olivier. So he went for a week without sleeping or eating or showering, and he showed up on the set, and he said to Laurence Olivier, I'm ready to play this character. I've been doing this for a week. I haven't slept. I haven't eaten. And Laurence Olivier said to him, my dear boy, why don't you try acting? And when I saw Shia LaBeouf in The Tax Collector with his permanent tattoo, all I could think of was, my dear boy, why don't you try henna? Because the tattoo is going to last a lot longer than the movie. And the ironic thing is he's in a suit almost the entire movie. So we don't even get to see the tattoo. So he committed to the role in a way. Shia LaBeouf is we know he's the guy who's had his ups and downs. He's been troubled. He can be an electric presence on screen. In this movie, I felt like he's playing at a tough guy. He's trying to be, you know, certain actors like a Sean Penn, Brando back in the day, Tom Hardy, you know, when they play tough guys, you believe them. This time you felt like, even when he's doing his little monologue about all the weapons he has, it feels very rehearsed. And this is just an incredibly sadistic and violent film. And we've seen it all before, you know, the two gangs going at each other in L.A. Almost all the main characters are Hispanic and almost all are villains. There have been some complaints about that. It's well made because the guy that wrote and directed it is a really talented filmmaker, David Ayer. He did End of Watch. He did Training Day back in the day. He wrote that. But it's completely unnecessary. Probably the most interesting thing about it is George Lopez has a straight dramatic role as an old-time guy, owns an auto repair shop, but is really a gangster, and he's really good in it. We keep seeing these like sitcom actors like Kevin James and now George Lopez. We've seen it with Ray Romano, where they have these dramatic chops that they get to do when they're at a point in their career where they just want to act and be in interesting things.
It sounds a little like they were trying to redo Colors.
It has the Colors feel, and I mentioned Training Day because almost everything happens over a couple of days, you know, one crazy series of days, and even Warriors, where it's like, you know, got to get across the city, and everybody's trying to kill everybody else. But to me, and it's just like, it's so, I mean, just brutal, sadistic violence in this, bones cracking and human sacrifice at one point. It's a little over the top.
Oh, well.
Nothing not like you saw in an American
Pickle. Not like Mulan.
No, it's very different from Mulan or American Pickle. I'd say that. You won't confuse those two as you're going through your lineup.
Okay, and this is available
on demand.
On demand, okay. Yeah. Now, I wonder if Shia LaBeouf has to do that to get a tattoo on his entire torso so that he can get the insurance for the film. Like, I'm going to show up on set, and I'm not going to screw up your production. You can insure me for this because I'm committing. Because he's had problems like that.
Yeah.
He was very hard to book into films for a while because he would do weird things. And some of them he did here in Chicago.
Yeah, well, he had the incident in the Walgreens in Chicago and Michigan where he was wandering about and they had to finally call authorities. I don't know. No filmmaker is going to say, hey, you're going to have to really get the tattoo here, buddy. At least the movie came out. Can you imagine if, you know, they just, or they cut, what if they cut his role? I'm sorry. We just decided to go in a different direction. You're not going to be in the movie. Or they recast it at the last moment.
Yeah.
But I got a tattoo.
Yeah.
Nobody told you to do that, Shia.
No. Well, we wish him, as we like to say on this program, the best of luck. Coming up, we are going to play for you, Mask Holes, this week's edition thereof. These are people who do not want to wear masks, and they want everybody to know that they don't want to wear masks. And there's a reason. Mm-hmm. Although I will say this, we are now encountering fewer and fewer mask holes. I find that to be a sign of progress. And I don't. When I say progress, I don't want to offend anybody.
They're all on the disabled list. Maybe that's why you're not seeing them out and about.
But there is a whole mask hole catalog that we're trying to build here. I think we might be able to sell the box set before we are said and done. So we've got a couple mask holes we're going to play for you coming up. And then on the other side, Richard is going to review Red Penguins. We're going to talk about the movie Red Penguins, which is now available on demand as well. And it tells the story of capitalism running amok in post-socialist Russia. Mm-hmm. Soviet Union collapses. So they're going to bring capitalists win. They're going to come in. And then in the hockey industry, turned out that capitalism didn't work as well for the Russians as they thought it was going to work. It turned into an oligarchy and then oligopoly. And there's just there's only like five guys in the whole country who run everything. But what it did to the game of hockey is comical. And we will talk about that. You'll review it. And then we'll talk to a guy who was in the middle of it, unfortunately.
Crazy.
So we'll have some fun with that. And John Weideman will join us as well.
Great.
Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. But first, let's check in now with Mary Vandeveld. What's happening on the roads and in the skies? Jamming a lot of stuff into the end of the week here. It's Thursday. Richard Roper is here. He's been doing some reviews. We're going to talk about a hockey documentary coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. John Weideman will be here to talk a little bit about the Hawks and what they did last night and how exciting tomorrow night is going to be. Then this hockey documentary called Red Penguins, and Reed Simpson, former Chicago Blackhawk, and I believe Reed played for 90 other NHL teams, I think, over his career. He's really one of the greatest personalities hockey has ever known, and he'll be with us to talk about it, because he was also in the KHL as a scout and as a coach, and he had some pretty interesting times there.
There are two NHL teams I think he played one game apiece for. And I asked him when you introduced me to him if he had those jerseys too. He's like, of course. I played a game. I would too. Played one game for a team, right? Get that baby framed right there.
He's one of my favorite hockey players of all time. And he'll be here to talk about what that Russia experience is like. Because this documentary is something to behold. Amazing. Okay. Let's do mask holes here, though. We got to get that in today because tomorrow we got the Blackhawks. And hopefully the Blackhawks making it to the Stanley Cup playoffs tomorrow right here on 720 WGN. How exciting is this? So let's meet this one. 77-year-old man arrested and charged with spitting upon police officers at a Walmart in New Mexico.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm not going to do it. Throw me in jail.
No, stop. Stop. You're not free to leave. So, you have to put one on because this is private property. If you choose not to, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. If you refuse to leave, I have to trespass you. If you still refuse...
Okay, you're going to have to drag me out.
Let's go outside.
You're going to have to drag me out, bro.
This is private property.
I'm sick. I've got the stuff. I've got the virus. I'm going to spit in your face. You better quit beating me.
Stop. You're not going to spit in my face. Let go.
Oh, man.
New Mexico, you say?
Yeah, Las Cruces.
Better Call Saul.
I think he actually will have to do that. That I found to be one of the mask hold traits is the idea that they go from I'm not wearing a mask to I have the virus and I'm going to spit at you. Yeah.
Or I have a note. They always have a note for the doctor, some doctor, some note.
We'll probably find a doctor. That would be, that may be a good thing for doctors who might have some issues with their licenses, or maybe a dentist that's no longer practicing, or a podiatrist. Anybody, right? No, just the mask notes. I'm sorry. My patient is medically barred from wearing a mask. All right. Here is Manhattan Beach, California. A couple confronted two men who were for not wearing masks. So now this is where it gets a little awkward, too, is when the civilians decide that they're going to have to do this, not store employees, because the stores, it seems like the store employees have been kind of trained in this.
Yeah, and in most cases have handled it very well.
Yeah.
In most of the viral videos we've seen.
Right. They're the ones that are trying to stay calm and trying to do this. So these two confronted men for not wearing masks, causing an argument that turned violent when the woman, who was wearing a mask, threw coffee in the face of one of the men because they refused to wear a mask. See, this is not right.
Okay.
Oh, hi. Bye.
You don't need to be wearing masks.
We're locals here, but we're on the other side. Too. We're on the other side of the fence. We don't believe in this stuff.
No, that's cool, but you shouldn't go around talking.
I hear you. It's okay. It's all right. I'm a business owner here for 30 years. I got it. It's okay. We don't work for residents. It's the environment. It's all right.
What are you looking at me for? I didn't say you.
Oh, no, don't get him. Oh, gee. Hey, Matt. That was dumb. Hey, guys, stop.
Off me! Get your girl off me!
Stop.
Get off me!
Stop. Oh,
he's throwing the drink in his face.
I don't give a.
Well, the one guy was doing good play-by-play, knowing that this would make it onto the show. So he was like, "Oh, and now she's throwing coffee at him. Oh, she shouldn't have done that." That's another advantage of wearing the mask. Someone throws coffee at you, you got a mask. To
That's true.
Yourself.
Yes, although then you have to put the mask in the wash, which you
like
should
a filter.
Do. Yeah.
Wash your mask.
I don't know how often I'm supposed to wash my mask. I don't know what that's. I've got a bunch of them now, and I can't remember which ones I've washed and which ones I haven't. I think it's defeating the purpose, quite honestly. Okay, and then finally in Maskles, and then I got a great story about side related to this. Okay. There are some women in Las Vegas being kicked out of the Wynn Hotel for refusing to wear a mask, and they, of course, invoke state law, which they have never read. Oh,
we're being escorted out because I refuse to wear a mask.
Exactly. I'm not wearing a mask.
I know, exactly. So anyway, we are in Vegas and it's completely dead.
It's not even healthy to wear a damn mask.
No, not at all. So they came to us with dogs. Oh, we should probably check with her. Oh, yeah, here's the dogs right here, guys.
Oh, my God, dogs. Are you kidding me? Why dogs?
You know that this mandate is there's no law. It's illegal. And it is unconstitutional. But yet we are getting walked out by staff. You making us do a mask, which is unhealthy for me. It's against HIPAA and any kind of health regulations. And you're forcing me to be unhealthy. So I've got to have proof by my attorney. When you're forcing me, are you telling me I can't stay and I'm a free American? Do not
guess
comply.
What, guys? Don't go to the Wynn Hotel, ever.
Yeah, exactly.
#ban the Wynn Hotel.
Well, now that you're out of it, I will definitely go. How many Cosmopolitans in do you think that woman was?
Maybe they can go to the Cosmopolitan down the strip. And I love the health experts there. They sound like they put cigarettes on their salad in the morning, and they're like, "Is it healthy?" I'm sure they're going right back to MIT to complete their studies. A couple of geniuses there.
Well, there are a couple things here. When people go, you know, masks are unhealthy, it's proven that they're unhealthy. What happens when they go to the hospital and the surgeon is just about to put them under? Do they say, you got to take that mask off? That's unhealthy. I need you to stay healthy during the surgery.
It's amazing. They like to throw that HIPAA in there, though. Yeah. A couple of terms that they got from watching a couple of cable shows.
Well, yeah, or on the Facebook. I'm sure they've been. I think this is so very Facebook-driven. And speaking of that, I love this story out of the Daily Mail. Have you been woke-fished? We should ask Kevin this because he's the single young man.
Mm-hmm.
These are dating trends in which singles pretend to be more woke so that they can attract sexual partners, including a neo-Nazi who was saying that he was for diversity, just so he could get into the well, with a woman who was quite woke.
So what you're telling me is that some men are representing themselves to not be what they are in an attempt to seduce women. This is happening now because it's never happened before.
No, but they're using the notion of being woke now. This is the new thing. Kevin?
But what I should know, like, what does woke even mean? What are we talking about?
Listen, you're not going to be good at being woke fished if you don't understand, or at woke fishing without being woke.
I must know the enemy. I'm going to do some research on this.
Just use the word woke. Yeah, and use it just like this. Oh, I'm woke.
Yeah,
woke.
In my pre-woke days, I might not have thought that way. You could say things like that. But I mean, this is like everybody was doing this. In the 70s, dudes were like, oh, man, that Bobby Riggs is a male chauvinist pig. I hope Billie Jean King kills him on the court because I'm awake. Whatever the term was. Would you like me to light your Virginia Slim? That's the liberated cigarette. I guess the dudes have been doing this forever.
I know, for sure. For sure. The guys have one or two plays. Either they're going to be overly sensitive and overly woke, or they're going to want to be the alpha male. And there are women who like the alpha male, and there's women who like the sensitive guy. But you got to know your audience. Isn't it the case? And maybe it's better to be yourself eventually, but that's not what this is about. This is
extreme,
this,
yeah.
In one case, a woman of an Arabic descent found herself dating a man who discussed his disgust at the whiteness of his education and wanted, and this happened in England, for England to be more diverse. She later found out he was a member of a neo-Nazi group.
Jeez.
So does that make him extremely woke because he was playing the game? Or not?
No. Woke just means you're kind of half awake. Okay. You've found your. All of a sudden, you're deciding to go in for whatever the progressive issue of that moment is, whatever you're discussing. You're going in for it, and you're understanding, and you're also as it pertains to you, Kevin Powell, white man of privilege,
woke man.
When you're woke, you have to own your privilege. You have to acknowledge at some point in the first paragraph that you have can. I'm sorry for my privilege in this. I understand. I'm privileged and I didn't have to experience this.
Got it.
That's the first thing.
Okay.
In woke.
Well, these clowns got to know at some point you're going to get found out. She's going to say, are there extra towels in this closet? And all the toys and memorabilia are going to come flooding out, proving you to be an idiot, racist jerk. How did you find those?
Oh my God!
I'm just collecting them.
Yes, I'm collecting them for evidence in this documentary that I'm making.
Mm,
yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
Terrible.
Woke fishing.